Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Badlands Media Podcast. This is John Harold, also known as Patel Patriot. I am the founder of Badlands Media, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in to listening to us here on your favorite podcasting platform. Just a reminder that all of these shows air live on our Rumble channel, so be sure to tune in over there. Just go to Rumble, search for Badlands Media, and you can interact with our community and the hosts in the chat. So be sure to come join us on the Badlands Media channel on Rumble, rumble.com/Badlands Media.
We are the news now. It's a saying that has come to define a growing movement within the Truth in America First communities. And at Badlands Media, we've been doing our best to make it a reality. Due in large part to your support, Badlands has quickly grown into one of the most watched independent networks online, with dozens of citizen journalists, podcasters, and personalities across our shows. This spring, we want to take Badlands to the next level, and we invite you along for the ride as we kick off the Great American Restoration Tour. Experience everything you love about Badlands in the form of a live, ticketed event with in-person speakers, meet and greets, a VIP dinner with Badlands personalities and show hosts, and more. For those who can't join us in person, we'll be streaming the entire event as part of a special pay-per-view broadcast. So join us in Chandler, Arizona, April 20th through the 23rd. Go to badlandsmedia.net to reserve your tickets. The Badlands Media Great American Restoration Tour, powered by Furman.
Thanks for supporting Badlands America First partners. You can find a list of some of those sponsors in the description for this podcast, along with links to their websites and discount codes. We appreciate you supporting those businesses that support Badlands Media.
All right, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Badlands Economy Update. I am joined by Kirk Elliott, the CEO and founder of KirkElliottPhD.com, our gold affiliate. We are going to talk about all this just nonsense right now in the news. Let's start with like the Credit Suisse situation. I think that's probably a good place to start. Then there's plenty of other topics we can get into here.
Yeah. So Credit Suisse became a global, basically hot potato after Silicon Valley Bank folded, right? Because Silicon Valley Bank was the biggest bank run in history. Over $43 billion of assets, you know, deposits were actually taken out over the weekend, right? When they failed, it's like, oof, they don't have that much money, right? So this caused a bunch of other banks to fail. Well, now that spread overseas, right, to Credit Suisse last weekend. So Credit Suisse, we gotta look at what they are. So $1.3 trillion in checking and savings accounts instead of $173 billion. Literally, they're 8 times the size of Silicon Valley Bank. If they go under, it's lights out for the global economy. So they couldn't, you know, so other banks in Europe were looking at this and you know, we had addressed this, but it's like UBS bought them for $3.9 billion. Okay, nope. Here's the thing. $1.3 trillion in checking and savings accounts, $3.9 trillion in total assets at Credit Suisse. So if their negotiators at UBS bought them for $3.9 billion, that's the biggest deal of the century, right? I want to hire those people. Or maybe it was the worst investment ever, right? Because what I had speculated based on the size of U.S. banks having tens of trillions of dollars worth of derivatives, you know, with Goldman Sachs having $53 trillion, J.P. Morgan Chase $50 trillion, Citibank 40 something trillion, you know, all the way down to the smallest in the tens of trillions, as well as Fargo at 12 trillion. Well, actually, Credit Suisse is bigger than Wells Fargo, right? So it's like I'm thinking they probably have $1 to $10 trillion in derivatives debt. You know, not the big boys, right? But let's just say they have $1 to $10 trillion. Still, $3.9 billion to take on even a trillion on the low end is the worst deal on the planet, because I wouldn't pay a penny for that. I really wouldn't. But then yesterday, the Bank of International Settlements came out, said, oh, well, actually, Credit Suisse's derivatives issue is $39 trillion. It's like, what? I was wrong. I was way wrong, right? It's way more than I expected it to be. But so this is why UBS had to buy them, because if they went under, well, then the light would be focused on every other European bank, you know, UBS being part of it. Deutsche Bank being part of it, right? And then it would have been a contagion across Europe, except we're not talking about regional banks here, John. We're talking about the largest banks in Europe. So UBS fended off a contagion of more bank failures by buying this company. But now what they, $39 trillion worth of debt, right? This is what they just brought on of derivatives debt. So now over the weekend, this started to spread to other banks in Europe, of which Deutsche Bank is the big hot potato. It's awful. If this one were to go down, they've got $46 trillion worth of derivatives debt. $47 trillion, according to the Wall Street Journal, of derivatives debt. 47. That puts them in the same landscape as JP Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs. If Deutsche Bank were to go under, we would have a change in the financial system globally overnight. If Credit Suisse would have gone under with $39 trillion worth of derivatives debt, we would have had a change in the financial system overnight. There, even though we have to realize, John, that the same people bringing in central bank digital currency are the same bankers now. They're just changing the system, right? They're changing from central bank fiat-based money to a digital version of their fiat-based money. It's the same bankers, right? So it's almost in a net effect. They don't lose, but what they gain from a digital a national currency is complete people control and the ability to cut you off from buying or selling and basically complete control of you. Because if they can control how you spend, they can control you, right? So, but are they ready for this? I don't think so. They're not quite ready. So they can't let the entire system implode overnight, because on March 15th, the Federal Reserve Board of Governors came out with the announcement that the FedNow app was going to become live in July. This isn't a rogue internet blogger talking about this. This is the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. So what is the FedNow app? It's your phone app that actually connects. It's the conduit, the tunnel from you and your money to the central bank digital currency repository, which basically is your debit and credit system to the new money. You are the, you know, and it actually has all of your digital social profile, your spending habits, so they can collect all that data on you, cut you off from buying or selling, right? They still had one missing component to it, and that is, how do you connect you and your money to that system? That's what the FedNow app is. So now that is going to be released in July to the public, but next week, April, in the same announcement, they said April is when we're going to pre-launch it with a few big financial institutions, mega ones, that are going to be testing it out. But they were begging for people, other financial intermediaries and smaller firms to bring this FedNow app to their clients for widespread acceptance, right? So now you've got this playing itself out where they've got the conduit from you to your money, which will be available by July. So they can't have something fail tomorrow. They really can't, because they're not quite ready for it, right? But it would be the equivalent of, except worse, remember when Obamacare rolled out? How much of a big, colossal cluster that was, and people couldn't sign up for their insurance. It's like, oh, it wasn't ready for prime time. Imagine that kind of a clustered rollout, except with your bank. Well, you don't have the money to buy or sell, right? They have to test this. They have to make sure that it works, because if it doesn't, it's complete chaos and they're not ready. So they need to have it ready. The FedNow app is going to be ready in July. So you can't have these big banks, completely colossal banks, fail too early, because it would ruin their whole system, right? So it has to be almost like a systematic failure to get people to not trust the system, to not trust their banks, to trust a centralized government-controlled bank that's digital, that controls you and your spending. Nobody would want that otherwise. Really, nobody would want that unless things start to fail around them and they lose faith and confidence in the existing system. But this is how I see this kind of playing out. So I'm not surprised that Deutsche Bank is in trouble. I'm not surprised that Credit Suisse got bought out. Because you can't have things fail too quickly, although they do want them to fail so they can usher in a new system, but they're not quite ready for it. It just happened to be that this contagion of debt kind of had a mushroom cloud experience because of Silicon Valley Bank, and now all eyes are on the banks globally.
How reliant is not just Europe, I mean, Europe more specifically, but the entire global economy on the US dollar? Because right now we are, we're the world's reserve currency, but I can show you right here. This was an article that just came out today. And this is something I've been talking about for a long time. BRICS has overtaken the G7 in global GDP. And this is the world PPP GDP, which is a production something parity or purchasing power parity or something. Anyway, it's a more accurate representation of, economic strength. And so those countries have finally passed the United States, and this isn't even including Saudi Arabia. And so, we've been kind of talking, okay, well, what if the US dollar no longer becomes the world reserve currency? What if, in global trade, people no longer want to use the US dollar to purchase and facilitate trade,
Yeah.
How reliant is the world economy, Europe, especially these G7 countries, on the US dollar? And if they were to become no longer the reserve currency, like, what would the effect of that be?
Yeah, so scroll up just a sec. Go to that top chart. So the U.S. dollar, it was the big kid on the block, right? Nobody could even compete. But now that you start adding other countries to the BRICS nations, now they do have a larger aggregate GDP. Now they could be the world's reserve currency, because you really can't be if you're not the biggest, right? It would be very, very difficult. So they first had to start amassing countries into their system, which is why they brought in the oil producing nations of the Middle East, why they're starting to bring in a lot of the countries in the Central Asian corridor, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, a lot of big agricultural places, a lot of big natural resources, hard materials coming out of those countries, right? So, and when you add the Chinese military to the Russian military, to the military of some of these other countries, it's like, nobody could ever compete with the U.S. military ever. But what about aggregately? Now, are you big enough where aggregately you are bigger and you do have more financial clout? Well, financial clout, yes. Militarily wise, who's to say, right? The U.S. military is the most advanced in the world by far, right? But you start getting mass numbers. They're obviously making an economic play, a political play, a military play to be the world's reserve currency. And they just did it. So technically speaking, if you were to ask me that same question a year ago, it's like, no chance. Nobody could ever compete. But now, since they're bringing in all these countries, it's like, well, yeah, they can compete, which is making the US dollar more irrelevant internationally, because there's a bigger competitor that's bigger than us. That's, I hate to say it, I can't stand that this comes out of my mouth, but they are winning. They're doing really good job, right?
Dismantling
the U.S. dollar.
Think about it. The only reason the dollar has any value at all is because it's just globally accepted as an exchange for trades of services, right? Once that stops happening, like, let's say, BRICS now, it's not just them trading with each other. They trade with other countries too. Let's say they start saying, okay, you either trade in the yuan or you don't get to trade with us at all. How many countries might be like, okay, well, I guess we have to. And then all of a sudden, I mean, nobody's trading in the dollar anymore. It doesn't have any value at all, right? I mean, it only gets its value because of the value of, basically what we attribute to exchange of goods. There is no actual like gold backing it. There's no actual other value other than that. And once it stops being accepted as a form of payment, it's gone.
Well, and that's exactly their plan, John. I mean, that was very well said, because this is what Saudi Arabia did at the World Economic Forum meetings a month or so ago, a little more than that, is they said, we're going to stop trading in US dollars in exchange for our oil. Well, it's not like there's some small producer in oil alone. They are the largest producer and exporter of oil on the planet. So they're saying, what we're going to do is we're going to trade. If we're selling oil to China, we'll take the yuan. If we're selling oil to Europe, we'll take the euro. If we're selling oil to Mexico, we'll take the peso, right? I mean, It's they're saying we don't want the U.S. dollar anymore. That's the only reason why we could amass $32 trillion worth of debt as a country is because we had built-in demand for our currency. We could keep printing, treat our currency like monopoly money, and still have demand for it because there was built-in demand for it.
On the same token, like you're saying, China's holdings of U.S. treasuries is at the lowest rate it's been in years. I mean, they're no longer purchasing like they have been, you know, and this is them purchasing our debt rate here and purchasing our dollars. So you're spot on. If Saudi Arabia decides to make a full move into BRICS and says, yeah, we'll do everything in yuan, and I mean, the effects of that would be catastrophic for the dollar.
Well, catastrophic for the dollar, which means catastrophic for every U.S. citizen because we trade in the dollar. And if our dollar starts to lose money hand over fist, right, it's like it's going to take way more of our currency to buy any kind of import coming in, right? That's inflation. Because we still, about 70% of everything we consume comes from overseas. So if the U.S. dollar is being dismantled and losing value due to these inflationary pressures and low demand for it, well, then it's going to take way more of our junk currency, so to speak, to buy valuable goods and services, whether it's oil or trinkets or TVs or cars or you name it, anything that comes from other countries, it's going to take more of it. That is the root cause of inflation, right? And so what they're doing, this is economic warfare at its finest, right? So they're dismantling the U.S. dollar. So we have to print money to fund our stimulus programs, raise the debt ceiling, cover our entitlements and dependency programs and all of that, while at the same time, they're eroding other people's confidence in the dollar. They're eroding the confidence in the banking system. All of this is basically a mechanism to beat the United States without any kind of military action. You can defeat the United States through economic warfare, which is what they're doing. But it's a zero-sum game, right? As we lose, somebody else gains. They are gaining, right? And this is the ultimate problem. You know, if you're in one of those countries, you're going to be happy that you're gaining that attention. Yep. If you're in America, you're going to be sad. Well, all of this is a function of bad policy coming out of D.C. and New York for a long time, right? This just didn't happen overnight. We've got $32 trillion with that debt. That doesn't happen overnight. Although Janet Yellen last week at the American Bankers Association meeting, you know, after SVB, after Silicon Valley Bank, I mean, she's acting like she's bipolar and changing her decisions over and over and over again. It's like, okay, we're gonna bail everybody out. No, we're not gonna do that. We're gonna do bail-ins. It's like, oh, we're not gonna bail people out. Oh no, we are. I mean, this is what they were doing for 2 weeks. So ultimately, what happened? They bailed out Silicon Valley Bank. Then she said on March 15th, any failed financial institutions moving forward are not going to get bailed out. Well, they already did the damage. They already bailed out all their cronies and the tech companies at Silicon Valley. Then she changes course and said, we're not going to bail anybody out. But then on March 21st, American Bankers Association said, hey, you know what? We're going to actually, the U.S. government's going to backstop all $18 trillion worth of financial assets and bank assets in America. It's like, what? $18 trillion, and she just said the government was going to backstop them. What did she just do? She nationalized the banks with that one statement, right? So here's where you have to nationalize the bank. Central bank digital currency, which is coming, is nationalized banking. It's just in a digital format, right? So just go and get into the end result a little bit early by nationalizing these banks. But here's the issue. It's a catch-22. Because there's a lot of people cheering, saying, oh, great, our bank assets are going to be safe. So you're joking me? $18 trillion of banking assets in America. Who knows how many of those banks could go under? But $18 trillion is 70% of our total GDP. Okay, either you backstop a run of bank failures and we have inflation like nothing we've ever seen because they don't have that money laying around. They have to print it, which means the value of our currency diminishes and we lose our ability to really buy anything at cheap prices. We won't be able to afford to live. Or they don't bail out failing banks and you lose your money immediately, right? So they chose the lesser of two evils. It's like, let's backstop everything.
They just kick the can down the road.
Kicking the can down the road, which is they're really good at kicking the can down the road, which is why we have $30+ trillion worth of debt, right? So this is the problem. They're not fixing anything. They're kicking the can down the road. And this is why I believe, John, inflation, we haven't seen the middle or the end of it yet. Well, the banking failures, we haven't seen the middle to the end of it yet. There's so much more coming because debt is the Achilles heel of any economy. We've got more debt than we know what to do with. We have more leveraged debt through derivatives debt with all the banks, right? And we have lowering wages, rising taxes. It's like, it's the worst of all possible scenarios, but yet we're living in it. And this is why you and I shout from the rooftops about solutions. It's like, don't kill the messenger. I mean, we're just talking about the news in the world, right? But banks will fail when they spend more than what they bring in. Everybody, well, families' finances do as well.
Yeah, which is what they've been doing for a long time. And there's actually an interesting point that was brought up in the chat in the form of a question. And think about this. What's the likelihood that Social Security recipients will have future payments linked to a FedNow type account with CBDC type restrictions? 100%. I mean, if they have a government program and they're trying to implement a government type central bank digital currency, the only way they'll pay it out is if you comply with all their stuff. So everything's going to be tied to that. But anyway, we're already at like the 20 minute mark here. Before we go on, I do want to cover one more story. And that is this that came out of Africa. There was a quote from the president. And he basically said, let me find the actual quote here. Market participants should not engage in trading strategies or quote prices with the intent of hindering. Wait, that's not the right one. Hold on. Okay. Okay. The Central Bank of Kenya has spooked banks with a new foreign exchange code that comes with threats of punitive fines and license suspensions for offenders on a day that President William Ruto warned traders hoarding dollars to expect losses in a few weeks. The foreign exchange code, among others, prohibits banks from engaging in trading practices, quoting prices, or market transactions. And there was not actually a quote. Let me see if I got it here. Yeah, right here. Let me play this quick after I share my audio. It's just a quick 20-second clip, but watch what he says about the dollar here.
For the people who work numbers, I am giving you free advice that those of you who are holding dollars, you shortly might go into losses. You better do what you must do, because this market is going to be different in a couple of weeks.
So he says, those of you hoarding dollars, you better do what you got to do, because this market is going to be different in a couple of weeks. And there are rumors out there, and I don't know what to think of it yet, but people are saying that, you know, there's some plan where all these countries are going to drop the dollar at the same time. No idea if that's true. I almost doubt it is, but I do think we are heading to a situation where countries start to drop the dollar. I don't necessarily know if it's a coordinated thing. It's going to happen like all at once, but that is something that is a genuine possibility. You know, how long that'll take to happen, who knows, but what's your comment and take on this?
I mean, if what he said is true, and there's 140 countries that get rid of the US dollar on the same day, it's like, oh, lights out. I mean, literally, that would be absolutely devastating. So, but what's bizarre about this speech is that the Central Bank of Kenya responded to it, right? Which tells me maybe there's some credibility to it, but maybe there's something else too, because foreign exchange rules say that if you're in charge of something, if you're in charge of policy, you can't manipulate the markets and affect the foreign exchange market. That's like illegal, right? So they had to come out with this rule, said, hey, all intermediaries, all financial banks, all people, companies trading in Forex, you can't withhold people's money. You can't delay trades. You can't do this. So when they start saying you can't delay trades, you can't do this kind of stuff, what are they expecting? Whether it's because of this potential coordinated effort or simply because the president of a country made a statement for everybody to get out of dollars for whatever reason, within 2 weeks, they're expecting a lot of volatility. And they're saying we have to put rules in place. So they're making these financial banks and intermediaries basically put together a plan that they're not going to do that, and compliance measures by April 30th, and even more compliance measures by June 30th to the Central Bank of Kenya. because they could see a run on the dollar, right? Because of a statement, maybe well-intended, maybe 100% real, maybe 100% rogue. Because if you make a statement like that, the dollar will come down. People are going to sell it. And if you own short contracts on it, you profit when it goes down, right? Which is why the Forex is, you know, these exchanges are getting involved and the Central Bank of Kenya getting involved. No matter how you look at it, the fact that you can have a leader of a country saying that the dollar is going to deteriorate in value in 2 weeks and people believe it, it tells us that the fragility of the system. If somebody were to say that 5 years ago, it's like nothing will ever happen to the dollar, right? We're the big kid in the sandbox, right? But however, people, this could actually be legitimately true right now because we have so much debt. We have so much derivatives debt. And whether that statement turns out to be a real 140 countries get rid of the dollar on the same day, or if it's just a statement by a president to his country saying, hey, the dollar's eroding, you better get out, it elicited the response of the Central Bank of Kenya to say, oof, we got to implement some rules here because there is going to be a rush on the dollar and we have to make sure that trading is fair, right? So this is, well, time will tell, right, John, if what comes from this, but I'm telling you, not much good is going to probably come from it in either direction because both things point to a loss of confidence in the U.S. dollar and people dumping more than what they're buying.
So, guys, you know, here at Badlands, we've been saying for a long time, just be prepared for whatever it is. Get your food supply, have your guns and ammo, get your gold and silver, get your Bitcoin, whatever it is. You need a store of value. Because whatever we're about to go through, whether it's like next week or a year from now or 2 years from now, whatever, they kick the can down the road, who knows how far it got kicked. But whatever happens, you need some sort of store of value so that on the other side of it, you can essentially, you know, pick up kind of where you left off, right? You don't just have paper that goes to zero and it's worthless. And then what are you going to do with it, right? While you can, do what you can. Go to Kirk Elliott, that's with two T's, Kirk Elliott. phd.com/badlands and reach out to Kirk and his team. Just do your consultation. And I urge you to do it now because they are busy as hell. Get in the queue. You might not, they might not reach out like instantly because they're so busy, but they will reach out to you as soon as they can. What's the turnaround time? Do you even know? Like sometimes it's same day, isn't it? Still depends on.
Oh yeah. Same day to within probably 72 hours, but we will get back with you. We will set up an appointment with one of our advisors to answer your questions, make sure that your fears are addressed, that your goals are addressed, and we can bring you to a point of hope and get you allocated properly.
Absolutely. Well, appreciate your time, Kirk. Guys, make sure you head over to Vigilant News. They are live right now. Go check them out. I think that is everything I have. Let me check one more thing here. Yeah, that's all I got. So, Kirk, you have a great rest of your day. You try to take it easy. I know you're busy as heck. So,
you got it, brother. Joining us. Good one too. It was great being with you today.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Alrighty.
Thank you so much for joining us, and don't forget to hit the thumbs up on this video. And a special thank you to all of our advertising partners. Please remember to shift your dollars to support those businesses that support Badlands Media. And if you're interested in advertising with Badlands yourself, reach out to Kitty Gillespie. Her email is ads.badlandsmedia@proton.me. That's ads.badlandsmedia@proton.me.